Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
As usual, we start with what I consider good news. And the good news tonight is you matter. And the reason why I'm using that this evening is in my Thursday night class, I used that. And people were not as good news, but in a talk that I was giving. And people were dumbfounded. They said they never heard me say that before. And I say that many times to you people, that you matter. And the reason why that is so important is this whole class, it's called Abundance and Prosperity, Including Money, but it's a transformational class. You transform in this class. You become something that you weren't before. And in order to do that, you must realize that you matter. And you've often heard me talk about self-help books, and that self-help books always start at step two because they assume you know step one, and you read the whole thing and you try to apply these principles, and they usually don't work because you're missing one of the steps. So this is one of the steps that perhaps I have left out, thinking that everyone understood it. So that the whole idea of you matter, when I say you matter to this universe, or you matter to this thing called God, that God would be incomplete without you, that is how much you matter. And Tom, a young man that comes to this class, and on Thursday night class, he finally figured out what that meant when I say that you matter so much to the universe. And the illustration that he used was this. On a computer screen, it's done with pixels. Little dots, and the whole picture comes together. You can't see the dots. But if one dot is missing, the image on the screen is not clear. Just one little single dot causes the image not to be, you know this stuff? Causes the image not to be clear. Now, if you can visualize that, that is how much you matter to this universe. That is how much you matter to this thing that we call God. Without you, God would be incomplete. The same way the image on a screen is incomplete without that one dot. It is fuzzy. It doesn't give the exact image. This whole universe that we live in is a holographic universe, and we need every little piece to put it all together. And that's the idea of you matter. But to take that down into yourself and realize that you truly do matter, it's all right to know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. But if you don't know you matter, then those three aren't going to help you. You must always remember, I matter. And you must learn to matter to yourself. So many people think that you require somebody else in order to matter. No. Know yourself that you matter. You matter a great deal. And then learn to take care of yourself. And then from that step that you matter, go on to lovable, deserving, and worthy. And you'll see the whole difference in your life once you realize that you matter. And on Thursday night, people put up their hands when I said, how many people here do not think that they matter? And hands went up. And most of the people had never thought of that before. It never occurred to them. And they thought a minute and decided that no, they never thought that they mattered. Because if you're not taught that as a small child at home, your parents can say, I love you, this, that, and the other thing. But you have to realize that you matter also. You have to realize that you matter. It's a big thing to realize. Reva, who also attends the class, said that her mother, after years, and I think the woman was on her bed to make her transition, and said, well, it really doesn't mean anything because I never really mattered. You have to know that you matter. It's a horrible thing. Good evening. It's a horrible thing to go through life and think, I don't matter. that I don't matter. So sit and know that you do matter. And it doesn't matter what your parents thought of you or anything. We're all old enough now to start to change our minds about ourselves and to say most of the stuff that we learned is incorrect. And start to see yourself as somebody that really matters. And learn to matter to yourself. And that's the wonderful news, because you matter to this thing that we call God. You absolutely matter. You're worthy. You're appreciated. And this thing called God absolutely needs you. So think of those things. But in the morning, say to yourself, I matter. I matter. How many people say that? Look at everybody and say, just say to them, I matter. I matter. Yeah, I matter. I matter. Yeah. I get up in the morning now and I say, I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. And it's wonderful. Try it. Stand up and do that. I matter. Come on. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. Da-da-da. And make it. You see? We matter. And it's joyful. And bring that up into yourself. And know, along with your other affirmations that you're saying to yourself, that for the new people, I recommend Wonderful, Wonderful Me, that we say every day to ourselves so that we know that we're wonderful. And to remind ourselves that we are totally lovable, deserving, and worthy of everything. When we're not getting what we don't want in life, it's because we feel that we're not worthy, we do not deserve, and we feel unlovable. And if those three things are operating in your life wrong, you're not going to bring into your life the money, the prosperity, the abundance, the love, the jobs, anything that you want. Is not going to come to you. But when you change your mind about yourself and start to really love and like yourself and know that you matter, things are going to start to come to you. And you can see that. If you sit around thinking, I don't matter, then why would you want to have money to begin with? Because the money is not going to make you matter. You have to matter first, and then the money will come. So think about that. Get up in the morning and do that little routine. It's fun. It puts energy through you. And you can laugh at yourself. I laugh at myself while I'm doing it. But I do it anyway. Because it's a wonderful thing. I want to know that. I want to know that I matter. Not only to myself, but to the world. And to this thing that we call God. It makes your life so much better when you know that you matter. So that's the good news. You matter. You absolutely matter. Okay? Now, race mind. I call these race mind alerts. And the race mind alert is tonight is, I was with friends over the weekend, and the one said to the other, and well, just how bad was your day? Now, many people think, yes, that's funny, and we laugh at it. And the one said, well, I used to say something different, but the days are really so bad now that I just say, how bad is your day going to be? You have to realize you are the one that's making your day. There is no power outside of you causing anything. And when you get up again in the morning, you say to yourself, this is the day that the law of my mind is making, and I shall rejoice and be happy in it. And then you go about your day. But you have to realize that you have the power to make your day what you want it to be, not what open yourself just to let anything happen. You have to be able to plan your day and know that only wonderful things are going to happen. But if you have an attitude, how bad is my day going to be today, you're going to have a bad day. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. You can't do that to yourself. In this teaching, we learn to hear what people are saying, and we learn to hear what we are saying. Because we have to change our thinking. It's all done with thinking. It's done with thought. And we just go along with the people. But I can hear all that stuff, and I immediately deny it. I never say a word to these people. It's not my job. They'll have to figure that out on their own.
I've been starting with some people. I start my conversations off with, tell me something good in your life today.
Yes. Yes, otherwise they're going to tell you that they're not feeling well and this happened and that happened, because people just love to tell you all the bad things in life, and you get to thinking that's all that there is instead of wonderful things. And the more you can talk about wonderful things, the more wonderful things will come into your life. It just happens that way. I've been doing this too long not to know that that is true. And I keep doing it, and it works every time. But we are the ones that are creating our lives, and we're creating our days. And it's nice to get up and know that you can do that, and that it's not the traffic, it's not anything out there, it's not your boss, it's not your job, it's your thinking. And when you can change your thinking, your whole life changes. And if you want to get out of a job, the best way to get out of a job is to love yourself into the job. And you'll get out of that job. You can get out of any situation that you're in by loving the situation and learning how to love the situation. And what does that mean? Quickly, so that you don't think that, oh, now I have to do that. To love yourself into a job means to get so interested in the job and so efficient at the job that you're promoted out of the job. That somebody comes and says, I want you because I can see what a wonderful worker you are. But if you're there absolutely hating your job, they're not going to promote you. And no one's going to come by and say, I'd like you to work for me. But if you love yourself into the job, you'll love yourself out of the job. Does that make sense to you? That's the way it's done. But people just curse and swear and carry on at their jobs and think it's the job. And why aren't I promoted and all? Well, you're not promoted because you're an idiot. You know, people won't do it. But you'll be surprised. As soon as you love yourself into anything, then it changes and you get out of it and you get what you want. But we love to hold on and just keep complaining about the job that we're in. Don't do that. Don't complain about anything. There's nothing really to complain about. The more you complain about something, the more you'll hold on to it. So, argue your limitations and they will be yours. That's from A Course in Miracles. And every time we stand up and fight for our things, if I would have said to that person, it was a young lady, oh, I don't think your day was all that bad, she would have argued with me and told me and shown me how bad her job was. Because she would have made it right for herself. Instead of saying, oh, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. No, she's going to tell you. And that's what people do. People always argue for their own limitations. And they argue for what they think is right. And usually what they think is right is wrong. So, think of those things. But know that you absolutely, truly matter. And that's the good news. You do matter. Okay? Still doing treatment work and affirmations. Okay. I will do a treatment right now. Treatment is just a word for prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are only affirming or reaffirming what the universe already knows about us. I will do this in the first person. All those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I know absolutely that I live in an absolutely wonderful, abundant universe. And I am part of that universe. I am part of everything in the universe. And therefore, I have prosperity and abundance, including money. And I claim that for myself now. realizing that money is always freely circulating in my life and that I always have a divine surplus. And I let that be so, and so it is. You must realize that money is always circulating in your life. And learn to have more circulating in your life. And it will just keep coming to you. That's an immutable law of the universe. Meaning, it does not change. And if I can do it, you can do it. Because the sun shines on the just and on the unjust. This thing that we call God shows no favorites. So what it can do for me, it can do for you. So remember that. And remember that you matter with that. And it will all start to come to you. Tonight's topic is source. And here again, we go right back to what is the source of our good? What is the supply? Where is this all coming from? And it's all coming from this thing that we call God. Which, when I use the word God, I'm talking about an intelligence. I'm talking about an energy. I'm talking about a vibration that's going on all the time. And when we want something in our life, we must vibrate at the level of the vibration of the thing that we want, so that the two vibrations match each other. And that's why we say like attracts like. Birds of a feather flock together. It always happens that way. So when you're down in the dumps and very negative, that is not a vibration that's going to bring money to you. It's not a vibration that's going to bring much of any good to you whatsoever. But when you raise your consciousness and your thinking to positive thinking, to positivity, then it's a different vibration. It's a higher vibration, and it will start vibrating with the thing that you want. And then the two connect each other. And that's how you bring things into your life, by bringing yourself up to the vibration of the thing that you want. And anyone that's fallen in love, you know that that's true, because the two of you start to vibrate. And you can feel the vibration. But with anything you want, try to get into that vibration of the thing that you want. If it's a car, a relationship, if it's money, whatever, a house, whatever it is, it has a certain vibration. So learn to vibrate at that vibration. But first of all, learn to know that you do that. Learn to know that you can vibrate, that you can send out energy. We're always sending out energy. Every one of us is sending out energy. We just don't know that. We are not taught that we can do that. There's an organization here in Southern California, up around Monterey, called HeartMath. And they've been around for years. And they have been able to test people and how much energy comes from them. And from the heart, on some people, they can test the energy 8 feet away. That's a vibration when they say energy, which is a vibration going out from that person. But can't you feel sometimes people near you and so forth? Have you ever stood and felt somebody behind you and you turned around and they were there? Because the vibrations with people, if it hits the back of your neck, you feel the vibration. You may not know that, but the vibration will cause you to look around because it's hitting the back of your neck. This is true. It happens all the time. You can try that with other people. You can always be sending energy. Just try sending energy to other people all the time. You will see all the difference in the world. You'll be able to do it. And you'll think, how did I do that? How did this happen? You have to open yourself and know that you have this energy. All this body is, all this life is energy. It's vibrating. I'm vibrating in an energy that you can see. I could vibrate at a higher energy or a lower energy, you would not be able to see me. But since I'm vibrating at the same vibration that you're vibrating at, you can see me. That's what humans do. That's how we become human. But we can learn to vibrate higher than that. And we can learn to vibrate to bring things into our life. And it's from this one source. It's from this one thing that we call God or the universe. When I say God or universe, they're the same thing. There's no separation. There's not God and the universe. There's only ever God. It's God acting as the universe. The same way it's God acting as me, or me acting as God. And that happens with each and every one of you too. That's why on the little card that you picked up, it says, on my little cards on the back of it, it says, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. And you have to know that, that that's what we're here. That's what we're all about. We're here to demonstrate God. We're here to take on God qualities and to absolutely prove that God exists. Because God does not have a body. Only we have bodies. God does not have hands and eyes and all that. We have them, but we use them. Because God is always working through us, in as and through us always. Yes?
Could I take you back and ask you to give more specific examples about vibrating at the frequency of what you want? You know, I know the concepts, but, you know, when you are specific about something, what can you give us specific examples?
Yes, how to start to vibrate like that? Well, many people say, let's use a car. And they want a car. Well, first of all, we say you have to have a different vibration to get that car. You have to have the vibration that that car is putting out. Well, if you don't go to the dealership and look at the car, you're never going to get it. Then you have to get in the car. Then you have to sit in the car. Then you have to touch the steering wheel. Then you have to get your feelings going and your emotions going and your vibration going. And then you start to pick up that thing. When you get that, the car belongs to you. Does that help you?
Okay, can you do it like specifically with money, like a certain amount of money or something?
Yes. Well, give me a figure that you have in mind.
So let's say if you want to attract $1 million.
Yes. All right. I knew she was going to say $1 million because everyone has this $1 million thing.
Well,
in
I've done the six-figure one already. Yeah. I'm ready to jump up.
All right. Have you've already done six figures?
Yeah, and I'm already earning that.
You're earning six figures.
Yeah.
Then you can do it.
Yeah, I know I can, but it was very hard to go from five figures to six figures.
Yes.
That took me...
And that's what the whole thing is about vibrating. That's the whole thing about consciousness, and especially a prosperity consciousness. And I'm delighted that you're here tonight. With a prosperity consciousness, we're stretching our consciousness. And she said it was very hard to go from one to the other because... you have to know that you deserve that, that you're worthy of that. What are you going to do with that? No one else has done that in your family. You're not around other people that are doing it. It's a little scary. This whole thing is going on inside of your mind. And you think, oh, well, more important people, only Donald Trump can make that type of money, only this. So you have to, again, go back to the idea that I do matter and I can make this money. And I can have this money. And then you start to see that money and you start to know, what am I going to do with that? How excited am I going to be? What freedom is that going to bring to me? And as you just keep getting more excited about the money, write the figure down. Write it down many times during the day. Go and see money. Go to a bank. Touch money. Smell money. Get excited about money. And see that figure. Keep that figure. And it will come. You will get that. But it doesn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight for you, did it?
No, I had to get a PhD to get the six figures.
Yes.
I couldn't see myself. You know,
yes,
without.
Just getting.
But like once I got the PhD, I went, oh my God, I spent all this money to get it.
Yes.
I'm sorry. So now I need to pay off my loans.
Right.
So that was the...
So that caused you to vibrate, didn't it?
Yeah. So now I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go to the next level.
Yes. So if you can go to the next level, just know that you're going on to the next level and start vibrating, start thinking, sit down, be thankful that you did that. Tell yourself how worthy and how deserving you are and that you do matter, and you'll just keep vibrating at that.
I think I just want to work harder, though,
Pardon?
I just want to work smarter. It was hard getting the PhD.
Yes, because it doesn't have to be hard.
I know, but it was.
But you, yes.
You made it hard, I guess.
You made it hard because in order to make everyone think, equate, making a lot of money requires a lot of work.
Yeah, I want to get rid of
it. And it's the hard, so we think it's hard, so we don't do it. No, this thing that we call God never asks us to try harder. God only asks us to believe more. And when we start to believe more, it will come to you. And when you set off for a PhD degree and you say, oh, and you'll hear everyone say, oh, it's hard, it's difficult, it's this, that, and the other thing. That's all race mind. You have to say, well, that's their universe. It's not my universe. And the universe I live in, things come to me easily because I know I'm using the mind of God, and the mind of God remembers everything, knows everything, and I'm part of that. Therefore, I know everything. I remember everything. I have a good mind, and I can get my work. And then it becomes easier for you. But you start off with the wrong affirmation, and then it makes itself true. Everything is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Everything is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Does that help you?
Yeah.
So you'll get it. And love all the stuff that you have, and your car, and your clothes, and your everything. Love everything about you. Yes. Well, then you'll get more. Things will just keep. Yes. You'll get it. It'll come to you. But give up the idea that it's hard.
Okay.
$1 million. You see, the thing about it is, this thing that we call God doesn't know the difference between a dollar bill and $1 million. Because God doesn't know the difference between big and small. Only our minds know that. You see, an ant and an elephant is valued at the exact same thing with God. Because it's all life. And it's all God's life. So it doesn't know the difference.
I started slipping the word effortlessly into affirmations and just thoughts and stuff, and the next day, bam,
yes,
all these doors opened up.
Yes, do that. Always. Things should always come to you easily,
effortlessly,
under grace, with elegance.
In a perfect way.
Pardon?
In a perfect way.
And in a perfect way. Absolutely. But you have to see that. And you have to just keep saying that. That's an affirmation. Instead of listening to what the world is telling you out there. Like now's a bad time or whatever the world. I don't know what the world's saying right now because I don't listen to it. But I know it's saying something out there. So does that help everybody with vibrations and how to do things? Because it's all done with vibration. When we do treatment work or any of this stuff, when Emmett Fox says warmth of feeling, that means vibration. That means getting excited. A warm feeling, when you get excited, you get warm. It's the warmth of feeling. When you get excited, you're using energy. You're putting energy out. And that's what you want to do around things. But we get sort of complacent about everything. And we, especially around money, we get very complacent around money. That this job can only pay this much, that this only you have to get the PhD in order to do it, you have to get this and that and the other thing. That's all the world out there telling you that. So don't listen to the world. It will never tell you the truth. The world never tells the truth, and it never wants you to succeed. It doesn't teach success. The world teaches failure. The world always tells you you can't, and you want to know that you can. You know. Does anyone remember what that still, small voice inside of them says? What does your still, small voice always say?
You are God. That's the good voice, right?
The good voice. But it says you are God, and it always says you can do it. If you sit right now, close your eyes, and just listen one moment, and a little voice will say, you can do it. Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you hear it? It always says you can do it. That's what the voice is saying. But we keep talking. We keep doing other things. We don't bother to listen to that voice. But it's an impossibility that we cannot do it. You cannot say that all you are is God, but you're not all that God is, and then say, well, I can't do that. I can't do that. You can't. That's impossible. I was in a store on Saturday, and a woman said, oh, that's impossible. That can't be done. I looked at her and I said, young lady, do you know that we live in a universe of complete possibilities and that can be done? And she goes, well, I don't think so. I said, it was something I wanted to buy. I said, call the owner. She called the owner, and the owner said, yes, we can do that. I looked at her and I said, see? It's always, you can never, I never take no for an answer. And I certainly don't allow people to say, oh, that's impossible, it can't be done. Because I wanted her to lower the price. She said, it's already that low. It's an impossible. Well, it can't go down any lower. I said, uh-huh, it can. And it did. And I got it.
Wayne Dyer has a little story. He talks about ducks and eagles. And he said the ducks just quack all the time and tell you it can't be done. And he says to ask for an eagle, you know, when you get to a place and they don't want to do something that you ask them to do. And in public, like, you know, like Starbucks and little coffee shops, you know, you'll say, I want this specifically like that. And they'll go, oh, no, we can't do it like that. And, you know, you say, oh, well, I'll pay extra for it. No, we don't do it that way. And then I go, okay, well, get me an eagle that can make it happen. And then they'll go and get their supervisor. And then the supervisor will go, no, ma'am, we don't do it that way. And I go, but you're a smart man. And I know that you can make this happen because I'm a customer and I'm willing to pay for you to make this happen. And then when you say it to them that way, it's like they feel like, oh, I have to do this. But they'll remind you, we're making an exception.
Yes.
And I'm just like, okay, well, that's all we want.
Yes. I love to be an exception. Why not? Why can't we? Everyone should want to be an exception. It's a wonderful thing.
The ducks don't like exceptions.
No, they don't like it. But I always, you know, I don't demand anything. I just know that it can be done. And once I know that it can be done, it's done. And I get what I want, you know. But I don't listen to the world. I don't listen to those things. And I put out a different vibration and a different energy. And I always go to any place with the idea, I always say to them, can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
I need help here. And then you've got them on your side instead of demanding. I didn't demand anything. I just said it's a possibility. Call the owner. And she called and the owner said, but of course that can be done. So it's just the vibration that you're putting out. It's not, you know, the world teaches confidence and we should all have confidence. But it's more than confidence. It's a knowing. And it's knowing that you can have that and that you can be the exception to the rule. You should always see yourself as the exception to the rule, especially if you think you matter, you see. If you think you matter, you have to say, oh, well, I'm an exception to this rule. And you'll find out that it works for you. See, we should all be exceptions because we're all unique, individualized expressions of this one mind that we call God. So we have to know that. So ask the next time, just know, well, because they'll tell you, we don't do that for anybody. I always say to them, yes, but I'm not everybody. I'm not anybody. I'm me, and I want this done. And usually, if you say that, they go, oh, okay. And they give you what you want. And that's a way also to approach this thing called God. Approach God as an exception, that you're the exception. And that God wants to give it to you. And then hold fast and God will give it to you. See, most people are afraid to approach God. They're afraid that God, Everyone knows that God is mighty. Everyone, you ask anyone, oh yes, God's mighty. Yes, yes, okay. Well, being mighty doesn't get you anything. Doesn't get you anything. You must know that God is useful. And you must start using God. Because the more you use God, the more you prove God. And the more you use God, the more things come into your life. But we have been taught that that isn't so, that we have to go humbly to God, and we have to do all this. God doesn't want you to be humble. God wants you to stand up and claim your power, claim what you want in life, you know? And most people don't do that. They're waiting for God to throw them a bone. God's not going to throw you a bone. You may get a bone because that's what you're thinking about. But go to God and say, this is exactly what I want. And I know that you can do it for me. Because I matter to you. I'm lovable. I'm deserving. I'm completely worthy. So there is absolutely no reason why I can't have this. And God will say, yes, you can have this. And your mind will say, I don't think so. Because God's willing to give you anything, but your mind talks you out of it constantly. Don't let your mind talk you out of it. Remember Mary Baker Eddy? You must always argue with your mind like a lawyer before a judge, and you must make sure that you win. You must always win. So then you sit down when you want something and you convince yourself that you are all those things. You are connected to God, and you tell your mind to shut up. And things will start to come to you. They will start to come to you. And it's a mystery. But it works. Because these are immutable laws of the universe. They do not change. They have always been in existence. They will always be in existence. God always says yes. The universe always says yes. It's our minds that talk us out of things. And the world out there will always try to talk you out of something by telling you what? You don't have enough knowledge, you're too old, you can't do it, da 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 da. You don't speak the language, you don't do this, that, and the other thing. Years ago, there was a movie, and I don't remember the name of it, but Ingrid Bergman played in it. And she wanted to go to China and save children. And she went to different organizations and I think churches and so forth, and they said, you don't have the credentials, you don't know what you're doing, whatever. You cannot do it. She went anyway, and a war broke out in China, and she got all these children out of China. And when she saved all these children, take them across the border, where, I don't know, it wasn't the man who said, you could never go to China, and you don't know what you're doing, and you'll never be able to help the children. There he was standing, not having any children, and she brought all the children out. When you know you can do something, don't let people tell you that you can't. Don't think that you need the credentials, you need anything. When you get an idea, you have to know that it's a God-given idea. And because it's a God-given idea, it has to play itself out. It has to play itself out. I always tell people this. God does not give you an ice cream cone and then, before you're able to take a lick of it, take it out of your hand. If you get the idea, the rest of it has to already be done, or you wouldn't have gotten the idea to begin with. So you have to know that. And that's putting out vibrations. That's knowing where your source is. And your source is giving you the idea, and if it gives you the idea, it has to give you the rest of this stuff. Because this is not a capricious type God. This is not a God that wants to laugh up its sleeve at you or something. It wants you to have everything. It absolutely wants you to have everything. And what holds us back from it? Only our own thinking. And our usually it's because we feel that we're not worthy or we don't deserve it, or we committed something which the world says is a sin, so we can't do it because now we've muddied the whole waters up. So now God's not going to talk to us ever again. God never remembers that, people. God never remembers those things. Only you remember those things. So if you think you've done anything that's too bad for anybody, give that idea up. Give it up. There was a man years ago called Quimby, Phineas Quimby. Lived in Massachusetts somewhere, or New England. He was a healer, and he could heal people. And they would send for him and the undertaker at the same time. Which everyone got there first got the body. And Quimby was able to heal these people. And how did he heal them? He healed them by telling them that they were worthy, loving, deserving, and that this thing called God really loved them. And what he discovered, that all of them that had illness and sickness had it because they thought that they had committed the ultimate sin. But what he also discovered, that everyone who thought they committed the ultimate sin, it was different in each person. There's no such thing as the ultimate sin. There's no such thing as the ultimate sin. The word sin comes from an archery term, meaning to miss the mark, and was put in the St. James Bible, the word sin. All it means is you missed the mark. And what do? You try again. You forgive yourself immediately and try again. Because God is not going to forgive you. God is not in that business of forgiving. God is in the business of making all things new and giving you everything that you want. The reason why God does not forgive you is because God has never condemned you. God cannot condemn. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never sits in judgment upon itself through you. If you're having any experience right now that you think was because of something that you did wrong, give that idea up. Just give it up. It doesn't matter. You made a mistake. But it was a big mistake. I don't care. I don't care if it was a big mistake, a little mistake. It was a mistake. And now I'm going to try again. And I'm going to do better this time. And if I make another mistake, I'm going to do better. We're all going to make mistakes throughout our life. And they're going to seem like big ones to us. We may lose all our money by a bad investment. That wipes a lot of people out. Learn something from it. Learn something from it. What is the number one thing that you think you can learn if, say, that you made your $1 million and you lost it? What would be the main thing that you could learn from that?
Not to do it again.
Not to do it again, but that's one what?
But you've done it once already.
But you know, well, that's good too. The number one thing to learn from any of experience is this, that the money meant nothing and that God is the source of all and God is the supply of all. And you lost $1 million, you just go back to your supply and say, I would like another $1 million, please. I wasn't too careful with that last group.
More, please.
Yes, and more, please. And that's all it takes.
Or maybe like when you're in a restaurant and you spill the food, you know how they complimentarily bring you another dish?
Yes, that's exactly. That's a great visual. Think of that. Whoops.
Oops.
Slipped on the floor.
After you ate half of it.
After you ate. Yes.
But you didn't mean to.
Yeah, but you didn't mean to. But God immediately will give it back to you. God always gives everything back.
God's not here to take things. And we lose things like $1 million and we think our life is over. We think, oh, that $1 million, I worked so hard for it and it meant so much to me in this ending. Well, money means nothing. And you have to realize if I made it once, I can make it again. And you just give me more. Go to your source. Always go back to the source, which is God, not your job. That's what people say, oh, if I lose my job, what will happen? Nothing's going to happen. You're going to get another job. Your more money's going to come to you. I always liked, the best thing I ever liked in life was quitting a job. I love to quit jobs. Yeah. And I went on to something better always, you know. People come to me and they want another job. They want to get out of what they're doing and so forth. And they get fired from the job. What happened here? Well, how do you can get another job if you already have one? So the universe says, get rid of that job and I'll give you another job. What are we always doing? We're always moving from our good to our greater good, from one glory to another glory. We're always moving forward. And you have to see that. You have to see that we're always moving forward. Isn't that wonderful? You were talking about Dr. Zeus. And I said, Dr. Zeus must be a metaphysician because what did he say? Wherever you are, there you are.
Wherever you go, there you are.
Yes, that's a metaphysical. That's very metaphysical. Lewis Carroll, the writer of Alice in Wonderland, must have been a metaphysician also, and all the different things that he said. One of the nice things that he said was this. When the queen asked Alice, she said, and tell me, what is your tomorrow going to be like? And she said, well, I can't do that. I haven't done that yet. I don't know what tomorrow is. I haven't lived through tomorrow. And the queen said, oh, my goodness. You must not be using your mind correctly. At your age, I could think of all types of things and all kinds of possibilities. She said, you have to remember that the mind works both ways. The mind works both ways. You see, here on this plane of action, we think the mind only works in one direction. It can work back. Can you not remember? It's working back when you remember what happened. Now, why can't it work forward and tell you what's going to happen? It can. Your brain can work in both directions. The world tells you that can't be done, so you don't do it. Your imagination is what? The greatest tool you have in your toolbox is your imagination. Learn to use your mind. You can do that. Think of that a moment. You can remember. You can go back and you say, that's because I have a memory. I already lived that. But you're going to be, why can't you do that? You can make your mind go in that direction too. If you can make your mind go in this direction, you have to be able to make your mind go in that direction. So do that. So tomorrow, say, I know I'm going to have more money than I had today. I know that my health is going to be better tomorrow than it is today. I know what's happening. And it will happen for you because you're putting your mind and you're looking into that, into the next day. And it will work for you. Try it. Your imagination, I keep telling people, use your imagination. Use it all the time. It's the greatest tool you have in your toolbox, and we fail to use it because the world tells you that that's a silly little thing that children do. And when you grow up, you cannot use that anymore. But you name one person who's made a lot of money that hasn't done it by using their imagination. Do you think that Gates made all that money by not having an imagination? He had to imagine what a computer could do. And all the things that could be done in the computer in order to do that, did he not? So he was using his mind and his imagination. But everyone thinks, oh, the mind you have to be, which they say, he's a very intelligent man. His high IQ is very big. But they never mention people's imagination. Use your imagination and make your intelligence bigger. If you think you only have 125 IQ, Start telling yourself that your IQ is going up higher and higher. And each time you learn something, your IQ is going up. The brain is a muscle. And we have to learn how to use it. And we have to learn how to exercise it. And we have to learn how to get to other parts of the brain. You see, they used to say that we used 10% of our brain. Now they think we only use 5%. I was worried at 10. Now I'm even more worried at 5. But think of all the potential and all the possibilities that you have inside of you. Another 95% to learn something, to do something, to bring into your life what you want. And it can be done. It's done with your thinking. It's done with your imagination. It's done with visualizing. It's done with vibration. It's done with warmth of feeling. And it's done by staying positive. It's done by believing in this. It's always done unto you as you believe. If you believe you can make $1 million, you'll make $1 million. If you can't make yourself believe that, start trying to believe it. Then start realizing. When I was a child, I thought if you had $1 million, well, I should start first. When I graduated from college, I thought if I made $10,000 a year, I'd be the richest person in the world. That would be a great deal of money, because people were only making about $3,200 then a year. $5,000 a year was a lot of money back then. That was during the Civil War. But 10,000 48 years ago was a lot of money. $10,000 was a lot of money. And $1 million, oh, what you could do with $1 million. Now you can't even buy a house with $1 million. So you see, the values of things change. And your mind and values have to change along with it. You have to keep stretching it. Because when I thought $1 million was a lot of money, and well, how could you ever do it? Now you have to start thinking in more than $1 million. You have to really stretch yourself to do it. And it's all in stretching your consciousness. It's all in building a bigger container for the universe to fill. And if you keep your mind small and your container small, the universe can only fill that. But if you keep stretching it and seeing all the possibilities, it'll just keep stretching. And you're already making a nice salary. So you can do that. And people who think that they want their salary, start seeing more. Start seeing yourself having more. And you'll start to do that. Look around, go to places and see what are the possibilities that I can do and how can I keep stretching myself. But in with it, always remember that God is the source of your supply, that God is the source of everything. Get a job, but know that the job is only the channel. Always know that the source is God. And ask God to open up every channel in the universe. And let's have money and prosperity and abundance flowing to us from everywhere in the universe. And it will start to do that. Is everyone still doing all their money affirmations? Yes. And they work, don't they? Yeah. You doing yours? Yes. It just keeps coming to you.
When are those affirmations?
All right. Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. All my bills are paid on or before time. Money is always coming to me in the mail. I never go to the mailbox and not find a check. I never go to the mailbox looking for bills. I only go to the mailbox looking for money. What?
I always say there's plenty more where that came from.
There's plenty more where that came from. Absolutely. And you have to remember that. Because the supply never runs out. The supply never runs out. You have to know that. And you have to know that on this plane of action, this whole planet that we live on, is abundance. Everywhere you look, there's abundance. The sand, we cannot count the grains of sand on this planet. I use the traffic as a sign of abundance. Look out and see all those cars. And they just keep coming. Try to pull out sometime. They just keep coming. I keep saying, oh, look at all that abundance. Look at all that abundance. Just keeps coming to me and coming to me. And at nighttime on the freeway, I don't get on it. But I go beside it, and I love to watch all the white stream of lights going this way and all the red going that way. And I just think that's wonderful. I says, look at that stream of abundance just going everywhere. And it's circulating. It just goes everywhere. And that's what you need to know. You matter. Please work on that. And do the little dance if you have to. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I think it's cute. Lovable? Absolutely. Deserving and worthy. And we also do wonderful, wonderful me. Every day you tell yourself how wonderful you are. And your whole consciousness starts to change. And you start to see things differently. And life becomes fun and not hard. And then your life gets in divine right order. And it just starts to unfold in front of you. And you don't have to put up with what I call all the nits and fleas of life. You don't have to put up with those. So you should make yourself, your life, easy, effortless, under grace, and with elegance. And if you do that, your life will change. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.